Will you please turn to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 42. The first four verses. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment according to truth. He shall not faint, nor be in haste, till he has set justice in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his laws. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 10:38. Jesus, who was of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went through all quarters doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The Gospel according to John, chapter 5, verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And finally, Gospel of John chapter 21, the last verse, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, these which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself will contain the books written. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how we do thank Thee for Thy mercy, for Thy grace, in giving us Thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask that we will be able to appreciate Him more and more. Do reveal Thy Son in us more and more. We ask that Thou will bless Thy Word this morning to our hearts and bring us closer to Thy beloved Son. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. We have been sharing on the life of our Lord Jesus. We believe that it is God's will that we behold His Son. To know Him and to know the one who sent Him is eternal life. There is nothing better than for us to concentrate ourselves on our Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned before of His walk, how He walked upon this earth as the perfect man, the man of God's own heart. We also mention about His teaching. As the prophet of God, He teaches us of the kingdom of God. that we may be in that kingdom. We may be that kingdom to Him. Now this morning we would like to share together on the work of our Lord Jesus, or the doings of our Lord while He was on earth. So far as His relationship with God His Father is concerned, He is the only begotten Son of God, in whom God is well pleased. But so far as His relationship with God in work is concerned, He is the servant of the Lord. So on the one hand, we find that in life, He is God's only begotten Son. In work, He is the servant of the Lord. And in the book of Isaiah that we read in the beginning, Isaiah 42, He said, "Behold, my servant." God wants us to behold our Lord Jesus as His servant. My servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighted. He is the servant of the Lord. And God gave Him the Holy Spirit without measure. While He was on earth, He did not cry, nor lift up His voice, nor cause Himself to be heard on the street. And yet, we find that a bruised reed He will not break, or a smoking flax He will not quench. He did not faint, nor be in haste, but He worked steadily until He bring judgment to this earth. And then again you find Isaiah 52, verse 13. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be lifted up and be very high." Again you find God wants us to behold Jesus as His servant. "My servant shall deal prudently." While He was on earth, all He did was prudent, wise, just right. "And He shall be exalted and be lifted up and be very high." And now we know He is at the right hand of His Father, highly above all, given a name that is above every name. And to that name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. As many were astonished at thee, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the children of men. And yet, while He was on earth, people were amazed, astonished, and the fact that His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the children of men. Now this refers to Calvary. Before He was brought to the cross, how He was whipped, scourged, how He was crowned with a thorny crown, And there on the cross, he was nailed to that cruel tree. His visage was marred more than any man, his form more than the children of men. And yet, it astonished many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths. For what had not been told them shall they see, and what they had not heard shall they consider. On the cross, he finished the work of redemption. It is something that the world has never seen or never heard, and yet it is done. Now this is our Lord Jesus, the servant. Not only the prophet Isaiah mentioned our Lord Jesus, prophesied that our Lord Jesus, when he came to this world, he will be the servant of the Lord. But if you read the New Testament, you'll find the same thing. For instance, you find in the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 13, there you'll find when Peter and John were used of the Lord to heal a man born lame. And when that man was healed, jumping and leaping and praising the Lord, a crowd gathered around them. And you remember Peter said, "Now do not look at us. It is not because of our piety that this man was healed. It is because the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, he has glorified his own servant, Jesus." And again, you'll find in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, when they returned to their own company after they were threatened. And you remember all the believers that began to pray and say, "God, how true it is that all the nations, according to thy word, will raise up against thy servant, Jesus." So, brothers and sisters, I believe that God wants us to know our Lord Jesus as the servant. Now, as the servant of the Lord, how he was obedient. Obedient even unto death and the death of the cross. When he came into this world, he said, "Behold, sacrifices and burnt offerings are not what you want, but you have prepared me a body to do thy will. And thy law is in my heart." Now that is our Lord Jesus. As the servant of the Lord, he was faithful. He was faithful to God to the very end. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, his very name is the Faithful Witness. And again you'll find in Revelation chapter 19 verse 11, his name is the Faithful and the True. How faithful he was to God in doing everything that God has commanded him to do. Now, brothers and sisters, our Lord lived on earth only 33 years and a half. And yet, during those 33 and a half years, 30 years were hidden years. Only 3.5 years, he was exposed to the public. And during those 3.5 years, how he traveled through all quarters doing good teaching people, preaching the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cast out the demons, because God was with him. He did many wonders, many miracles. He did many things. And these are all recorded in the four Gospels. So if we want to know what our Lord Jesus did, go to the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because these four Gospels record the doings of our Lord Jesus. He did many things. But what was recorded is only a little bit of what he did. Because you remember that John, in closing his gospel, he said, if I want to write all that he did, even this world cannot contain the books that have been written of what he did. Now you go to the library and you find many books. If you go to Washington, D.C., to the Library of Congress, there are so many books there. But brothers and sisters, during those 3.5 years, what our Lord Jesus did, if you want to write everything that he did within that 3.5 years, the whole world, not just the Library of Congress or our little library in Richmond, the whole world is a library, cannot contain the books written. Within such a short period, and he did so much. Not only in the sense of the quantities, but especially in the sense of quality. What our Lord Jesus did has no man ever done, and no man will ever. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 5, verse 17, said, you know, this was after he healed a paralyzed person. And he said, my Father works hitherto. Brothers and sisters, all that our Lord Jesus did is only doing the work that his Father has been doing. In other words, his work is the continuation of the work of his Father. Nothing else. You know, one day our Lord Jesus did a miracle with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now remember, these 5 loaves and fishes were given to him by a little child. In other words, that is that child's one meal. So you can imagine how small the loaves must be. 5 little loaves and 2 small fishes. And the Lord used that and feed 5,000 grown-ups, women and children besides. And there are 12 baskets left. And people were all amazed. They even wanted to force Jesus to be the king because he saw the food problem. The Lord sent them away. He even sent the disciples away, because his disciples also want to make him king. they found him the next day on the other shore. And the Lord said, now do not seek for the food that perishes, but seek for the food that is for eternity. And then you remember the people say, now, what should we do? That we do the works of God. All right, you want us to do the work of God? What is the work of God? What should we do that we do the works of God? That is in John chapter 6, verse 28. And you remember what the Lord said? The Lord said, this is the work of God. Believe on Him whom the Father has sent. Now, if you read very carefully, you will find in verse 28, the people said, what should we do that we do the works of God? The work there is plural number. In other words, in our mind, works, many works, lots of works, and some works are secular works, some works are sacred works, works of God, many works. Now, what should we do? That we do the works of God. But in verse 29, the Lord said, this is the work of God. Singular number. In other words, to God, there is only one work that God does. And that work is, if you want to do that work of God, believe on the one whom He has sent. Now we'll explain later on. It is true that our Lord Jesus, when He was on earth, He did many things. So many that could not be recorded beyond record. And yet, He did only one work. Because God does only one work. It is true. He created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created all things. And through human history, God did so many works, and He's still doing many works. But brothers and sisters, so far as God is concerned, He does only one work. All the works are included, all for the sake of that one work. My Father works until now. From the creation of man until the time that our Lord Jesus was speaking, God has been working. And the Lord said, now I'm continuing in that work. In Psalm 103, we are told, God makes known to the children of Israel His acts, but to Moses His ways. In other words, the children of Israel only saw the acts of God. They saw manna coming down from heaven, and they were glad. They saw the waters coming out of the smitten rock, and their thirst were quenched. They saw the acts of God. This act, that act. And when God acted, they were happy. But soon, they forgot. Now, that's the children of Israel. But Moses, he was better because he knew the ways of God. He knew that God always did things according to certain principles. And if you keep to this principle, you will be in the will of God. Now, that's far better. But brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus showed us God's purpose. Not only acts, not only ways, but purpose. God has only one work to do. And what is you remember in the book of Genesis? After Adam and Eve, our forefathers, sinned, what did God do? God came into the garden seeking man and said, Adam, where are you? Man, where are you? The man that God created had fallen. The man that God desired in his heart had fallen. And now God came to seek, to call, to recall, to restore, to recover that man. Brothers and sisters, this is throughout human history, God has been steadily working with that one objective, to recover man, to find and to save the lost, to bring man back, not only to that sinless state, but even to a holy state. In other words, God's work is centered upon one purpose, and that purpose is to bring man back into his original design. Now, what is God's original design for man? His original design for man is that man may be joined to him in life. His original design is that he wants to give man as life companion to his only begotten. Or to put it in another way, he wants man to be his son's bride. Helpmeet. Man not just in one individual, but man as a corporate being. Now that is God. And it is towards that purpose that God has been steadily working, and our Lord Jesus continues to work. We mentioned before that the gospel according to Mark is a book that deals especially with the works or the doings of Jesus. Now that's true. As a matter of fact, all the three Gospels, not the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, they record the doings of Jesus. But it is the Gospel of John that interprets his doings. So you find in the Gospel of John, in interpreting the doings of our Lord Jesus, John does not mention, John does not use the word miracles wonders. But John used another word, signs. Signs. The same thing was done. But in the other gospel, it was called wonder, miracle. But in John, it is called sign. Why? Because John is interpreting the doings of our Lord Jesus. All that our Lord Jesus did has a meaning behind it. So it is a sign. It is a signpost. It points us to something else. And you find in the whole Gospel of John, he gave us 8 signs. 8 signs. We are studying in John now, so I leave it with you. I'm not going to go into it. Altogether, there are 8 signs given. And all these signs are showing one thing. As John said, he said, I write these signs that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing Him, you have eternal life. This is the work of God, that you believe Him whom God has sent. And in believing Him, you have eternal. Because, you know, our Lord Jesus came to this earth for one purpose, to seek and to save the lost. That's speaking individually. But speaking corporately, He came into this world to do one thing, and that is to prepare His bride. He came to this world and He could not find His bride anywhere. So He's had to seek and to save the lost and bring them into life. Bring them into life union with Him. Bring them into the place where they begin to take up His own character to be like Him. And in doing that, one day we will become His like. Now, this is the work of our Lord Jesus. Oftentimes, we are attracted by His many doings. Of course, we are amazed. When He used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000, we are amazed at that. But brothers and sisters, what God wants us to see is behind all these doings and see the purpose of His work. If we see the purpose of the work of our Lord Jesus, then brothers and sisters, we can do the work of God. You know, so far as our Lord and God is concerned, when He was on earth, He was the servant of God, the servant. But so far as our relationship with Him is concerned, He is our master. We are His servants. We are called to be His servants. And brothers and sisters, do you know that it is He who teaches us servanthood? If we want to serve Him, if we want to be His servants, we need to learn from Him what servanthood really is. Otherwise, we would be like the Jews at that time. Saying, now, what should we do that we do the works of God? We are thinking of many works. This good work, that good work, this is God's work, that is God's work. And we will be occupied with all these things. But brothers and sisters, we need to realize what is the work of God. And after we understand what is the work of God, then all these works would fit in. They will not be just scattered, isolated, unrelated acts. You are doing this for God and I'm doing that for God. No. You find that whatever we are doing, there is only one work. It is to bring man to God. Perfect in Christ Jesus. It is to prepare for that glorious church, the bride of the Lamb. That a disciple is not higher than the master, nor the bondman than the Lord. It is sufficient if the disciple is like the master and the bondman is like. So we need to know the Lord Jesus as the servant of the Lord. Because it is He who teaches us servanthood. He said, yoke with me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. When you think of a yoke, you think of a work. You know, you yoke the oxen in order to till the ground. Now, there is a work to do called the work of God. And our Lord Jesus is the servant of the Lord. He put his neck under. And he plowed the field, obedient, faithful to the very end. Now you and I are wild oxes. We have not been broken. We are not trained. And we are called into the work of God. Every one of us, brothers and sisters, every one of us is called to the work of God, the work of God. We are called to work together with our Lord Jesus, not work alone. To put our neck under the same yoke. No, the yoke has two. What you call it? I don't know how you call it, but our Lord on one side and you on the other side. And we are yoked together with Him. And that is the way to learn. Because when we are plowing the field, being untrained, undisciplined, when we see something good there, we want to go to the other side. We forget that we are under the hand of our Master, that there is a work to do. And here you find our Lord being strong and steady. He will pull us back. And we begin to learn. To be the servants of our Lord Jesus, we need to see the Lord as the servant of the Lord. We need to learn everything from Him. Otherwise, you'll find we are just doing our own work for God, not doing the work of God. So first of all, we must realize that God has only one work. And Christ is doing that work. And He is calling every one of us to share with Him in that work. Individually, present every man perfect in Christ, as we find in Colossians chapter 1. Paul said, he labored, he toiled to bring every man perfect in Christ. Collectively, that all may grow up into maturity, into that full-grown man, into the fullness of Christ, that we may become the life companion of our Lord Jesus. Now, that is God's work. And we are all involved. You notice how our Lord Jesus does His work. He did many things, many wonders, many miracles. And yet, brothers and sisters, you listen to what He said. In John chapter 5, He said, I cannot do anything of myself. What I do is what I have seen my Father doing. And what my Father did, I do also. In other words, you find that when our Lord Jesus was doing, there is nothing that He does out of Himself. Our Lord is the perfect man. He is the only sinless, perfect man. Even if He wants to do something out of Himself, it cannot be wrong. You know, if we do something out of ourselves, it's always wrong. But our Lord Jesus, being the perfect man, even if He wants to do something out of Himself, it cannot be wrong. It's always right. But even so, you'll find, He said, I cannot do anything out of myself. He refused to do anything out of Himself. He refuses to do anything for His own self. Whatever He does the will of His Father. Do nothing because He is the perfect man. Therefore, He can do anything He wants to. Do nothing because He is the Son of God. Therefore, He can do anything He wants. You know, He was tempted. Satan came and tempted when He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and He was hungry. And Satan came and tempted Him and said, well, you are the Son of God. Are you? Then turn the stones into satisfy yourself, your hunger. You can do it. But the Lord said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, you find our Lord Jesus will not do anything for Himself, will not do anything out of Himself. He is waiting for His Father's will. If His Father wants Him to be hungry, He is contented. Now that is how our Lord does the work of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, this is servanthood. He is teaching us how to do the work of God. Oftentimes, we initiate a work for God. Out of our good intention, out of our cleverness, we think that this ought to please God, not knowing that anything that comes out of ourselves, however good it may not be God's will. Good will is not necessarily God's will. And if we really want to serve the Lord, brothers and sisters, we need to learn of our Lord Jesus as the servant of the Lord. Do nothing out of ourselves. Do nothing for ourselves, but always wait to know the will of God and then faithfully do it. Not only our Lord Jesus does nothing out of himself, but you know, our Lord Jesus never does anything by himself. In other words, by his own strength, by his own cleverness. You think you're clever? You think you are more clever than God is? The Bible says the foolishness of God is more clever than the cleverness of man. Sometimes you think God is foolish. He does something very foolish in our eyes. But remember, his foolishness is more clever than your cleverness. Our Lord Jesus, as the Bible said, as he grows up, he increases in wisdom. He is the most clever, cleverest person in this whole world. Solomon is not his equal. He is greater than Solomon. And Solomon is a synonym of wisdom. And yet our Lord never initiates out of his own mind anything for God. He denies himself and obeys. There is nothing more foolish than the cross. Can you think of anything more foolish than the cross? The cross to the nations is foolishness. Why should God himself coming to be a man and be crucified on that cross? What's the sense of it? And yet, brothers and sisters, did our Lord Jesus question God's wisdom? He was obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. And we know today the cross is God. Our Lord Jesus never did anything out of his own power. He has power to feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he will not use his power to turn the stone into to feed himself. He has power to send 12 legions of angels to come and rescue him. But he will allow himself to be crucified by man. He never does anything out of his own. Whenever his power is manifested, it is the power of God. You know, when he began his ministry, you remember in Luke chapter 4, which is a quotation from Isaiah 61. He opened the book of Isaiah to chapter 61 and said, "The Lord has anointed me, and he has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor." In other words, you'll find everything he does is under the anointing of God, the power of God. He never does anything out of his own power. Now, this should be a lesson for each one of us. As we are serving him, do we serve out of our own cleverness? Out of our own strength? Or do we serve under his anointing? Furthermore, when our Lord Jesus was doing all these works, did he seek any glory? In John chapter 7, he said, "He who does not seek his own glory is true. Unrighteousness is not in him." You know, we always seek our own glory. Whatever we do, there is a secret thought within us. We want to be glorified. That's why we want to do something that can be seen by everybody. You know, everyone likes to preach. Why? Because he will be seen. People do not like to pray in that closet because nobody sees him. No, whatever we do, no, even when we are doing so-called sacred work, we want to be seen. We seek our own glory. But brothers and sisters, when our Lord was on earth, he never sought for a single moment his own glory. He never seeks his own glory. Throughout his life, his one purpose is to glorify. Is that a good lesson for us too? Whenever we serve the Lord, let us not seek any glory for ourselves. Let all glory be unto him, because he is the only one who is worthy. Furthermore, when our Lord Jesus was serving God, how did he serve? Now you read the gospel according to Mark, because Mark tells us the work of our Lord Jesus. And you find one word in that gospel repeated many times, and that word is diligently. Straight away. Right away. You know, that's the servant's attitude. Our Lord never puts off something tomorrow. Yes, he never goes ahead of God's timing. You know, sometimes you say, "My time has not yet come." God has a time. But when God's time comes, he never hesitates. He's right on time. Diligent. Straightway. Now, that's the attitude of a servant. And that is something we ought to learn. Now, brothers and sisters, when we are serving the Lord, are we diligent? Are we right on time? Are we always 5 minutes late? Do we postpone it to tomorrow? Or when we know the will of God, do we do it right away? Diligent. Well, there are many other things we can mention. But I would like to conclude with this thought. The Lord is the servant of the Lord, of God, the servant. He teaches us what servanthood is. He calls us to serve together with him. And what an honor, a privilege that is. But one thing we need to remember, and that is, we cannot serve him. We cannot work with him until we allowed him You remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? It is said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Before we can work with him, before we can work God's work, remember, we are his We are his work. And that is the reason why. In John, the Lord said, this is the work of God. Believe in him whom God has sent. Why believe? Because when we believe in him, then God is able to work in us. If we do not believe, then he is not able to work in us. Our Lord Jesus has provided for us salvation, full salvation. But if we do not believe, salvation will not become our portion. We are his workmanship. He's ready to work in us. Not only to give us life, but to let that life grow in us. That his character become our character. That we may grow up to be transformed and conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, he is ready to work. But remember, first of all, you have to start working. And start to believe. Because if you are working, you do not allow him to work in you. But if you stop working, and believing in him, you allowed him to do all the work that is necessary in order that after he has worked in you, then he has recreated you for good works. So you must let him work in first, and then you work out. Now that is the principle of working God's work. Now, unfortunately, we find today with good intention, with zeal, we want to serve God. So we start to do this and do that immediately. Instead of waiting, letting Him do the work that is necessary. And as a matter of fact, in the measure of his working in us will be the measure of your working, God's work. The more you allow him to work in you, the more you're able to work the work of God. So I do look to the Lord, that we may see our Lord Jesus as the servant of the Lord. Not just objectively, but seeing Him as the servant of the Lord, that we may be drawn into that servanthood that alone can please God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that through Thy beloved Son, Thou hast not only done that work that no man can do, but Thou hast also demonstrated what servanthood really is. We do thank Thee for all the work that Thou hast done upon us. And Lord, we do want to open ourselves to Thee, and let you work to the fullest, that we may be able to be used of thee and work